Just a heads up, the Razzball podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. You've waited. You've been patient. You finally got a girlfriend. A real one this time. Not that yellow-haired troll from Second Life again. The relationship has as much upside as a Lamar Miller-David Wilson backfield combo. That was, of course, until she texted you Sunday morning and asked if you wanted to help her pick out new bras at the mall. So young. So naive. She made you choose. She'll learn. Her tears will dry. She understands now that spending a late summer afternoon in a stuffy Victoria's Secret change room helping her decide between candy apple red and seafoam green isn't enough of a carrot for you. You've got your eye on something bigger. Bush. As in Reggie. Holy cow, did you see how good he looked in Detroit? Wow. What about Bolden? Vereen. Should you burn your waiver on Pryor? Oh yeah, baby. Football is back. There's no better fantasy. Well, at least for 17 weeks in the fall. Thank God bikini season starts in the spring. From the DraftKings.com studio, it's the Razzball Football Podcast for week one. Here we go.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour. Oh, make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
The Razzball Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Razzball Football Podcast. This is the first regular season edition of 2013. And you know how if you were watching football yesterday, there was a lot of safeties at the beginning. In fact, I think for the first six touchdowns, there was four safeties. Everyone, you know, had a little case of the jitters, a little butterfly. It's kind of what we got going on here at the Razzball Football Podcast today. First, we were supposed to have a former NFL cornerback turned analyst come on and join us today. He parachuted out at the last minute. Actually, LT, totally blaming you for that. Then we were supposed to have JB and J. Wrong give us the AFC and NFC notes. And now the phone system is down here at the wonderful Razzball studio. So I am flying solo, but here's what you will get today. Not only will we have Murph coming in to talk a little bit of injuries, we will also have Sky come on and talk about who you are hunting for on the waiver wire. So again, bear with me. I am flying solo today. But just if you want to pretend that JB is here, we can make this real simple. Hey, JB, how are you? I'm real good, Nick. David Wilson is terrible. So there you go. So now that you're kind of in the mood. And let's start off with that. We will talk a little bit about David Wilson. I don't think you need to panic at this point on Mr. Wilson. It's kind of a weird situation in New York. There isn't a quality backup there. If Andre Brown was there, I think we may not see David Wilson for a couple weeks. But Coughlin made it really clear in the press conference at the end of the Dallas-New York Giants game last night that they are dependent on David Wilson. They'll probably sign a guy off the street this week, maybe Jonathan Dwyer, maybe Beanie Wells. And those guys actually might have a little bit of value, but I do think they are going to have to rely on Wilson. So if you are talking to a panicked David Wilson owner today, I'd make an offer. I wouldn't pay full price for David Wilson, but if you could get someone in the right mood today and pay maybe 70 cents on the dollar, I still think there is upside there for a high-end RB2. So something worth considering. Another one, really interesting off the bat that I noticed, Ridley also having some butterfingers yesterday. Also, I wouldn't panic on him, but boy, did Shane Vereen look really good in that game against Buffalo. Buffalo's defense held up pretty well, and it's an underrated defense, but Vereen turned out to be the player, at least in the first week, that a lot of people were expecting from, that theorized he could be going into it. So that was really interesting. Some other stuff to talk about. There's a lot to talk about. One, Anquan Boldin. Holy cow, what a comeback for the ages. I don't know if it was the system he was in Baltimore or if it's an anomaly for the first week of the season, but Anquan Boldin looked fantastic in that great 49ers Green Bay game. 13 for 208 and a touchdown. Real, real fantastic debut. JB gave me some notes, and I will give JB credit on this. He's saying he's an wide receiver two from here on in. I don't know about that. I still would not want Boldin for more than a flex, even hopefully as my bye week fill in. But we'll see what happens. I'll be curious to see what they do. Also, too, I still think as good as Kaepernick looked throwing the ball yesterday, I still think he's going to run a lot. He's pretty accurate. You know, JB's really big on Kaepernick. He likes it a lot. So we'll see what how they do. Boldin's a really good traffic receiver. It'll be interesting to watch. Another player who looked as good as advertised but also looked as banged up as advertised, of course, is Danny Amendola. Caught everything coming his way in New England, was a real key factor for them, did leave for a little while, banged up, but did come back. I think Julian Edelman, will talk a little bit more about him later on, but he is also worth having a look at, especially after a two-touchdown debut in Buffalo. Bills held up real good. Again, that defense is a lot more stout than people realize. My big concern there is outside of Stevie Johnson, who I don't really like to begin with, they're still thin. Robert Woods caught the touchdown yesterday. I would not be looking at Robert Woods right now. I need to see a couple more games strung together before I would find a spot for him on my bench. But interesting nonetheless. All right, let's see if we can work out some of the kinks here. And let's see if we can get Murph to tell us what happened in Murph's Carnage Corner yesterday in week one of the NFL.
This is Murph, new to Razzball team this year. And you can follow me on Twitter at ThatMurph. And with that, I present to you the carnage from week one. With the injury plague sweeping through the minicamp and preseason, we should consider ourselves pretty lucky that there weren't any major injuries this week. And with that, here are a few players that we should monitor for week two, kind of before setting our lineups. Jamaal Charles owners had to hold their breath a little bit as he exited the game against the Jaguars, where he sustained what was diagnosed as a quad injury. Charles should be fine and good to go for next week against the Cowboys. Shocker here, but as early as week one, Danny Amendola was seen limping to the sideline in the Patriots opener against the Buffalo Bills. Amendola was suffering from a groin strain, but he returned shortly after leaving. This is just something that Amendola owners are going to have to deal with week to week and could be a weekly theme here on the injury report. Titans running back Sean Green left with a minor knee injury. And wait, what's that? Oh, you guys don't care? Okay, moving on. Reggie Bush owners were rewarded pretty well this week, and you know, he had a huge game. But there are some concerns, as some reports are coming out, that he had a groin injury and also a dislocated thumb. Bush, he has this injury-prone thing, so it's something to keep an eye on. And as the Steelers, if they didn't have anything to worry about, I mean, they lost their rookie running back in Le'Veon Bell. They're having some offensive line issues, and now it looks like LaRod Stevens-Howlin is out with a season-ending ACL injury. Doesn't look good for Le'Veon Bell coming back as he's kind of walking into a pretty messy situation with an injury-depleted Steelers offensive line. In the Sunday night game, both Dez Bryant and Tony Romo sustained minor injuries. Tony Romo got the wind knocked out of him, came back in, both played strong. Shouldn't be a problem moving forward, and I think the most remarkable part of the game was that DeMarco Murray made it through without getting injured. Both David Wilson of the Giants and Stephon Ridley of the Patriots had substantial injuries to their egos after both fumbled in a critical situation this week. And really the only remedy for the fumbleitis is some bench warming until it passes. The only big injuries to monitor right now for those that are, you know, we're pretty familiar with the Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski. He's kind of day-to-day. He's said to be ready to be back as early as week four, but I'm not really sold on this, and I want to see him in a full practice before we say that for sure. Le'Veon Bell, as mentioned earlier, still a sideline with a foot injury, but the Steelers, you know, may be desperate enough to rush him back sooner than they should. Dennis Pitta still shelved indefinitely, as well as Percy Harvin. Harvin sent out a tweet on Twitter, you know, last week saying he was ready to go by week seven. Okay, Percy, if you mean week seven of 2014, I might believe you, but seriously, these players, they're usually a little more optimistic than they should be. And unless we hear some actual definite information, I'm going to stay away from it. And Harvin should really only be on your roster if you have an IR spot. And if you don't, send him back to the waiver wire. that's your Carnage Report for week one. And until next time, keep those fantasy rosters healthy.
The Razzball Podcast.
Back to the Packers game. Jordy Nelson also looking fantastic. Big game. JB was big on him as a value play for drafts this year. And it looks like he might be right, especially with Jennings gone. James Jones disappeared. But JB thinks he will get involved next week against Washington. Okay, here's a player who's, I won't say driven me nuts, but I've always said Jared Cook is either the most overrated player or the most incorrectly used player in the NFL. Of course, he signed with the Rams this week. I like the Rams a lot. I think they're a dark horse to even possibly go to the Super Bowl. I know it's a bit of a long shot, but I like the playmakers they have on both sides of the ball. And a huge debut for Jared Cook. Obviously, he's not going to go 7, 141 with two TDs every week, but definitely buying his involvement. I also, we only saw Tavon Austin get a couple of touches. I think he had 7 off the top of my head, I'm not sure. But I think Cook, Austin, and Givens is going to be really interesting to watch. They finally have some playmakers, finally some tools for Sam Bradford to work with. So I think that that's going to be very interesting offense to watch. I do like Jared Cook. He's, believe it or not, he's actually on waivers in some leagues. If Jared Cook is available in your league, I would definitely burn my number one waiver on him, because Cook might be in for one of those big touchdown seasons we've seen the last few years, especially if the Rams intend to use him as they did yesterday. Sticking to that Cards and St. Louis game, Rashard Mendenhall had a nice start. Easy to say Arizona's line is terrible, especially with Jonathan Cooper breaking his leg and out for the season. But Carson Palmer, I think this was the key. Palmer had time to throw against a pretty good defensive line in St. Louis. Young and upcoming, but definitely a lot of talent there. Larry Fitzgerald finally has an NFL-caliber quarterback to throw the ball to him. Andre Roberts looks solid. You're going to see a lot of touches from Michael Floyd. Going to be a great offense going forward. They play in a very tough division. They got to play Seattle, San Francisco, and St. Louis twice. But I think overall, you're going to see some real progress made in terms of fantasy relevance for all three of those receivers. And Mendenhall, if he can stay healthy, could be useful. We didn't see him yesterday, but keep an eye out, too, for Andre Ellington. He's a guy, a unique skill set. But if they're able to spread the defense and keep throwing the way they did yesterday, think Ellington is a guy that you want to keep an eye on this week. The Atlanta-New Orleans game was as good as advertised. It wasn't quite the fireworks display that people thought it might be. But Roddy White, with that high ankle sprain, had some injury limitations. He'll probably be fine. But if it lingers, Harry Douglas looked really good. He caught some balls yesterday that I don't want to say he wouldn't have caught in the past. I think a better way to look at it is that when you have guys like Julio Jones and Roddy White there, a guy like Tony Gonzalez, and especially now Steven Jackson catching the ball in the backfield, a guy like Douglas just isn't going to get the looks and targets. But if Roddy White, again, if that injury lingers, I think because you're going to see a lot of double coverage on Julio, might open up for Harry Douglas. So just a guy to keep tabs on. Also in that New Orleans game too, I'm going to be curious to see who winds up running the ball. I got a feeling Mark Ingram could have a lot of value this year. So another guy to keep an eye on. As well, Atlanta, that offense, there's a lot of mouths to feed there. Called it as soon as I sat down and I saw that they were in the red zone. I said, it's going to Tony Gonzalez, and it did. He caught that first touchdown. I kept waiting for Julio to go and get his, which he did eventually. But overall, it's both of those offenses are worth being invested in this year. Kyle, the producer, I asked him as I walked in today, I said, hey, Kyle, because he's the only guy I get to talk to in person today. I said, hey, Kyle, did you watch some football yesterday? He said he did, but he fell asleep during the Seattle-Carolina game, which was a bit of a snooze fest. But here's what I thought was interesting. Despite the critical fumble, D'Angelo Williams looked really good. Now, I'm not getting involved in that team's running game, but I think Cam Newton's going to continue to evolve. I played in a lot of DraftKings contests yesterday. We'll talk a little bit about Daily Fantasy later on. But I played in some DraftKings contests, and I took Cam Newton everywhere because I think a lot of people thought he'd have trouble against Seattle. And he held his own. And I think that if he continues his evolution and Steve Smith keeps making big catches, I think the Panthers, I'm not going to say that they're going going to take us a big step forward this year, but I think that D'Angelo Williams, especially if Jonathan Stewart is out for an indefinite period, could be useful. Still a flex play at best for me right now, but we'll see where he goes. Russell Wilson did pretty well. Carolina's defense is definitely up and coming, especially with Kukli in the middle. And here's a name that I just want to, you'd also definitely want to keep on your radar, and that's Doug Baldwin. He got banged up a little bit in Seattle last year, had a great rookie season. I think Baldwin, with Harvin out, could actually be a really useful piece. I think a lot of people, I didn't get it this year, why everyone was kind of down on Russell Wilson. He was going 8th, 9th, 10th. He's such a cerebral player. To me, he reminds me of a more mobile Drew Brees. I really think he has the upside to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. I really genuinely believe that. And I think people were down on him, though, mostly because of the lack of weapons. Well, listen, Harvin might be back sooner than expected, and it's still a run-based team, but I think Baldwin could have a lot of value there, too. Also, Kearse, the walk-on wide receiver, caught the big touchdown, had a couple big plays. So I think there might be more there than people realize. Hopefully, because I've got him everywhere, because I kept feeling I was getting great value on Russell Wilson this year. Hopefully, he continues to evolve, but I do like him quite a bit. I'm not worried about Marshawn Lynch and the the running game, who Carolina held up pretty well against them. Obviously, they're going to run the ball a lot. Lynch is going to be great as long as he stays healthy. The only thing that disappointed me in that game was I didn't get to see Christian Michael. I was really looking forward to see him getting touches, but it wasn't to be this week. Hopefully, they work him in, and I think he's so electric. I still think he has the ability to give us, 600 to 800 yards and 6 to 8 touchdowns this year. I really do think that I have him as the last guy on my bench on every team where I can. Okay, Minnesota, Detroit. Here's my thoughts on that game. Adrian Peterson looked fantastic, but really for one play. And I think the problem there, it's the same as it's always been. There's no quarterback, there's no receivers, no disrespect to those guys. They're all professionals. They're better than 99.99% of the population at playing football. But I kind of feel like I'm watching Barry Sanders' career again here. A super elite, one of the greatest of all time. You could argue maybe the greatest of all time, unless you saw Jim Brown play. But I think his career is always going to be slowed and hindered by the fact that there just aren't enough pieces around him. With that said, I still think he is fantastic, but I don't think that there are any other purple people eaters of value on that Minnesota team. But Detroit, I was huge on Reggie Bush going into the year, and he delivered. We'll talk a little bit about Joik Bell in a second, but Reggie Bush ran the ball well, had the big 77-yard play. He's not going to get that every week, but he will touch the ball a ton. I kept getting him in PPR and half PPR leagues all over the place. Huge on Reggie Bush this year. If he can stay healthy, I think he could have a fantastic season. All right, it's easy with Joik Bell. I'll talk about him in a minute, but first, Sky now is going to plug in here real quick and tell us about some of the guys that he likes on the waiver wire, guys you might want to burn your first waiver priority on right now.
Hey, everyone. This is Sky. You can follow me at Sky_Rasball on Twitter, and I'm here to take a look at some guys that I thought were interesting from this week's plays for your waiver wire. The first up would have to be Terrell Pryor. He had a great rushing day against a pretty weak opponent in the Colts. But at 11% owned, he also has a good matchup next week at home versus the Jags. So if you're looking for a high upside QB2 for next week, or you have a tough matchup with your main guy, he could be a great pickup for this week. Your next one is going to be Julian Edelman. He's at 20% owned right now. It's not the greatest matchup versus the Steelers, but when you go for 7, 79, and 2 with Tom Brady at the helm, it's kind of hard to turn down. I don't know how long this is going to be a good play, as I don't know what they'll do with him when Gronk gets back, but I don't believe Gronk will be back next week, so roll with it. The next one is probably actually a more long-term pickup, and that would be Marlon Brown from the Ravens. Everyone saw once Jacoby Jones went down, Marlon Brown stepped in, and he stepped in well. He's only 4% owned in Yahoo Leafs, and he could definitely be a WR3 with a shot at consistency, given the surrounding players like Stokely and Clark and Dixon not really being in the way for targets. And the final one, which I really, really don't want to say, but I have to, is Darrell Scott, 2% owned from the New York Giants. David Wilson can't hold on to the football right now. There's only so much you can do about that. And next week, the Denver Broncos are going to be playing them, so it almost promises to be a shootout. So if you're really desperate and looking for that running back play, Darrell could be your man. He could probably get you 5 or 7 receptions, and in that case, he's still viable even if Wilson's still around. And I won't judge you if you pick him up.
The Razzball Podcast.
Okay, so Joique Bell, I think, is much more than a handcuff. He is a solid flex play. I think they realized in Detroit, and this was something, I think the reason they went out and got Reggie Bush, they don't have a number two receiver. And I respect Nate Burleson. Again, he's a professional. But at the end of the day, when you can toss the ball to guys like Reggie Bush and Joique Bell, it doesn't matter where they're lined up. It's just going to give you, you know, it just puts playmakers out there. And it's, what are you going to do? You're going to triple team Calvin Johnson and leave those guys open in the backfield? You can't. So I think that's going to be great for Calvin all year. Joique Bell, probably for me, yeah, I'll say it. I think he's the number one waiver priority for me this week, because I think I can always find other position players. But if you're lean at running back and you've got a high waiver or a lot of fab to deal with, I'd be looking at Joique Bell this week. Another interesting thing, speaking of just getting playmakers on the field, so the Bengals haven't had a great number two receiver in a long time, and it was interesting for me to see how they used Eifert and Gresham basically as the second and third receivers in that option, and it worked really well. I still think Sanu has some upside, but I think Eifert and Gresham both could have value. I know both of those guys are available in a lot of leagues. If you are lean at tight end, like I said, definitely worth considering those two guys. Another guy I liked, we talked about the Saints and Falcons game earlier, Kenny Stills, got real buzzy preseason hype. Not as much as some of the other rookies, but there was definitely a lot of people paying attention to Kenny Stills. Think he could be a really big factor in New Orleans, if only for the fact that, you know, they brought back, what's his name, Meacham. I don't think Meacham's going to have any value. But just remember, Marcus Colson's been around for a long time. He's a steady player, undervalued, I think, compared to guys of his caliber. But also, too, you know, Marcus Colson's got banged up a lot. And I think if he does go down, Kenny Stills could see a lot of action. So he's a guy that I am keeping an eye on. Another game which was a bit of a yawner was the Tampa Bay Jets game until the end of it. Hard to assess Chris Ivory versus that Tampa Bay defensive line. I don't want to say Powell is the guy to own in that backfield, but I don't think Powell's that far off from Ivory. Here's who I thought was interesting, though, especially if Geno Smith winds up playing. Obviously, a security blanket was Kellen Winslow. And look, Winslow's been around. He's been banged up over the years. But when he's healthy, he's still a very good tight end, and he proved it yesterday. So Winslow actually, probably after Eifert, and just because I really like Eifert's red zone ability, but Kellen Winslow, very high on my list of tight ends that I would be going after, and I'm sure he's available in a ton of leagues. All right, we're going to talk about a lot more games and a lot more players right after we talk a little Daily Fantasy.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. Of course, you can follow them on Twitter at DraftKings. I mentioned it earlier, I played in a ton of DraftKings contests this weekend. It's a lot of fun. I actually did really well. Well, listen, really well. It's all relative, but I'm probably going to place the money in a couple of those leagues. Got to wait for the Monday Nighters, of course, to happen tonight. Houston and San Diego, as well as Philly and Washington. But definitely a lot of interest there. Of course, it was the $1 million kickoff over at DraftKings.com this week. But there are a ton of games. And what I love about playing Daily Fantasy at DraftKings is, look, during the week when I'm setting all my lineups, because I play in a lot of leagues, right? I play in, you know, my old school leagues. I play in keeper leagues, dynasty leagues, playing a ton of leagues for Razzball. But I still only have the players that I've got you know, on my roster to mess around with. So I just don't have the opportunity to say, wow, I really like so-and-so's matchup this week. But you know what? At DraftKings, I can do that. And especially, too, at the beginning of the year when you are so pumped full of draft knowledge, fantasy knowledge, you're paying attention, you're watching the waiver wire. Hey, maybe next week you start Terrell Pryor. Who knows? So that's the real benefit to me of playing daily, is that I can look at those matchups individually and make my own decisions, as opposed to having to play the cards that I was dealt or that I drafted. So definitely worth going over to DraftKings. If you haven't played draft, if you haven't played daily fantasy before, basically what it is, you get a cap for the day. So yesterday it was $50,000. In one of my leagues, I took Ryan Tannehill. So I think he was like $6,500 or $7,000. But if you wanted Aaron Rodgers, you would have spent $9,700. So how do you balance the rest of your starting lineup, right? I have Ben Tate. Excuse me. I have Ben Tate in a ton of DraftKings games tonight, hoping he's going to have a big game against San Diego. And I think he was only $3,000 compared to a lot of starting running backs who are over $6,000. So you balance that $50,000 budget, and then you go and you take everyone else's money. So it's a lot of fun. DraftKings.com, go over and visit them. Definitely worth trying out some daily fantasy.
The Razzball Podcast.
Back to the games from this weekend. Kansas City and Jacksonville. Wow. I don't know what's going to be worse, Jacksonville's new helmets or just how bad they are. Here's a couple things I think were interesting from that game, a couple key takeaways. I actually think Jacksonville's building a lot of talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but Blaine Gabbert is not an NFL caliber quarterback. And I knew Jacksonville was going to be bad, but I think they're going to be in the Teddy Bridgewater sweepstakes going into next year. Alex Smith didn't put up a ton of numbers against that defense, but a really key point about that, I think Smith is going to be very serviceable. I think he's underrated. I like Dwayne Bowe a lot this year. I think Dwayne Bowe could have a big season. But part of the reason I think they didn't explode against Jacksonville, not that he's ever going to explode, but if you follow me here, two things. One, Jacksonville drafted like 19 defensive backs. Seriously, in the draft this year, go back and have a look. It was defensive back, defensive back, defensive back, Denard Robinson. So, you know, obviously their secondary is going to improve. And I think, too, you didn't have to fully unleash whatever Andy Reid is planning for that passing game just because it was against Jacksonville. So again, Alex Smith to me is still serviceable. We'll talk about Terrell Pryor in a moment, but I think, you know, rest of season, I would much rather have a steady veteran like Alex Smith, who has some good weapons to work with. Remember too, Jamaal Charles is going to catch a ton of balls. That still counts as passing yards. So Alex Smith, some value there. And again, I like Dwayne Bowe. Okay, what happened to Lamar Miller? Miami at Cleveland. You know, I said it in the intro, but in a lot of leagues, I've got David Wilson and Lamar Miller, you know, usually as my RB2 and my flex, but man. Cleveland is very good. Cleveland is an underrated defense. They're starting to, you know, right the ship, but I did not expect that type of line from Lamar Miller. And Cleveland really needs Josh Gordon back. Just one more game till the suspension is over. By the way, if you're in a 10-team league or if you're in a league where Josh Gordon is available, do whatever you have to do to find a spot for him on your bench. He is an elite wide receiver. He is a big game player. I think skill-wise, look, you can laugh at me if you want for making a statement like this, but at least I'll make a statement. I think skill-wise, he is just a smidge below a guy like Julio Jones. Love Gordon. Slipped, you know, didn't get the hype. A couple reasons. One, you know, he's a bit of a knucklehead in college, got into some trouble. Went in the supplemental round to Cleveland, which you don't get a lot of buzz, but they did burn a second round pick on him. Also, it's Cleveland, and they haven't had a good passing game since, man, Derek Anderson had a good year a couple years ago, but since like Bernie Kosar. Plus, it's up north, so you're not really thinking, you know, passing attack. But Gordon is a special player. If, you know, you got to sit on that one more week suspension, I think he's going to have a big year. With that said, Cameron lived up to the hype at tight end. Jordan Cameron, the tight end, who was a very buzzy pick, looked great. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, I can see him keeping up with that because he's the only other receiving weapon they have other than Gordon. So I think there's a lot to like with him this year. Terrell Pryor, I don't know how to judge him. If you told me you wanted to burn your number one waiver or throw a ton of fab at him, I'm not going to argue with you, only because he looked really good yesterday. The Colts were a plug-and-play defense, but I thought actually the Colts' defense was, you know, they added a lot of talent there, but he made them look silly, especially rushing. Now, eventually teams will, you know, coach against that and figure out how to stop him. And obviously he's not going to be, you know, like those out of nowhere quarterbacks from last year. But Terrell Pryor, he's interesting. You can't argue the tools. And they're going to be bad. A lot of garbage time there. Might be a lot of interceptions, but, you know, look, if he can get you 50, 60 rushing yards, I mean, out of your quarterback, that's just gravy as far as I'm concerned. So another quarterback. Now, I would rather have, believe it or not, EJ Manuel. He looked good. I mentioned earlier the concerns I have for Buffalo is that Stevie Johnson is basically their pass-catching option. Although, just like Detroit, you know, Fred Jackson got a lot more touches than I thought yesterday. C.J. Spiller, obviously a great pass catcher. So, he's got some weapons. But I really like E.J. Manuel. He looked really good against that New England defense. I think there is nothing but upside. Remember, too, he was hurt for the last couple of weeks, so he didn't get a lot of reps. So, I'll be curious to see how he continues to look going forward. But just my opinion, I would rather have him than Terrell Pryor. Okay, a couple more players. We're just going to go through here. Guys that I'm definitely keeping an eye on. Obviously, Edelman in New England, he's not going to catch two touchdowns. But look, I will say this. I like Amendola, but Amendola, especially with the amount of catches he's going to get in New England, he's probably going to get hurt. And when he does, Edelman is the guy who's going to pick up the slack. You know, in some ways, too, I don't want to say I was surprised. I think it's more that slot receiver position is just so critical to Brady, which is why they had to go and get Amendola. But Edelman, I think there's a lot to like there. Another guy, buzzy preseason pick, Reuben Randall, looked great. If he comes up as a third receiver in New York, especially if they're having running game issues and they got to pass a lot, plus two, you know, look, they were playing catch-up yesterday against Dallas. That could happen a lot. I could see that happening a lot this year. So Reuben Randall could have a lot of value. Doug Baldwin, I mentioned. And then a couple running backs. You know, Vic Ballard got no respect throughout the preseason. I kept seeing Vic Ballard slide and slide and slide. Look, you need running backs. Running back is so scarce. Vic Ballard looked pretty good. Not a huge game. But if he had, you know, gotten into the end zone, you would have been really happy. I could see Ballard getting you somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 rushing yards, you know, 6 to 8 touchdowns. That's a nice flex play. And I just think everyone's thinking Bradshaw, but look again, Bradshaw always hurt. So I like Vic Ballard. And then another player, and it's because I know he is available in all your leagues, and I know that Denver is going to pass a lot. Obviously, they proved that on Thursday. But Knowshon Moreno, as long as he can stay healthy, he's probably going to be the starting running back because he's a great pass protector. And with all those you know, deep balls that Peyton's going to be throwing to the plethora of receivers he has, he needs a running back who can block. And the great thing about Moreno is he might not get you a lot of yards, but he's going to catch a lot of passes because he becomes a safety valve there. And he'll get you a couple touchdowns. So Knowshon Moreno, Vic Ballard, guys you can probably still pick up. Maybe not Ballard, but probably Knowshon, guys you can pick up. Off the waiver wire. So listen, thanks for tuning in to the first Razzball football podcast of the year. This is going to be really good going forward for the rest of the season. We got a lot of things planned. We were going to bust them out today, but again, we had some technical difficulties here at the great Razzball studios here at the DraftKings.com studio. But of course, we will get it up and running, and we will be ready to go for next week. Click subscribe. Head over to DraftKings. You can follow me on Twitter, at Nick Capozzi. If you got questions, you want your start sits on Sunday, tweet my man, at JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week on the Razzball Football Podcast. You like fantasy sports and
show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.